Tomorrow night, the Lux Radio Theater opens its seventh season, starring William Powell and Myrna Loy, with Don Ameche in the famous screenplay Manhattan Melodrama. Tune in tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time on the Columbia Network.
The Columbia Workshop brings you another in the Shane McCoy series, written by Nathaniel Curtis and Brewster Morgan. This week, Ed Gardner, playing Shane McCoy, returns to spin the story, The Major Goes Over the Hill. The Major is played by Whitford Kane.
For a nickel a tune, that piano gives good value.
Yeah, there's nothing like a piano and a glass of beer to set a man thinking. By the way, did I ever tell you about the war I once directed from a beauty parlor?
McCoy, you can say the worst things of any man I ever met in my life.
Yeah. Well, you see, it all come about through this Mike Brody. A shrimp of a guy, this Brody, but with a voice like a fog boat. I know him well, you see, on account of him and me grew up in the same street together. And then when I become a big league ball player and Brody takes to driving a great big truck and... You know them little guys, and this is a typical little guy. He loves wrestling that great big truck around, yelling orders to get over to everybody.
Please, my friend, you were telling about this war you directed.
Well, I'm getting to it. So when I'm finished with baseball and working in the paper business, I joined up with the National Guard Cavalry Regiment in town. You see, I joined because my old rooting club in the left field bleachers is members of this regiment, and naturally, I'm assured of a life of ease for the 2 weeks we go to camp.
So?
Well, it so happens that Mike Brody is also in the regiment. Only by this time, he owns 6 of them trucks and is a lieutenant to the bargain.
A big shot.
You'd have thought so if you heard him ordering them buck privates around. And I see him doing a slow burn at the life I was leading. Of course, I'm only a private and he's a lieutenant, but he's in another company and I don't get any real trouble from him until one day it comes.
What?
Well, first, the maneuvers are to be 8 weeks that summer on account of we're going to have war games. And second, the battalion is mechanized, and Brody, on account of his experience with trucks, is promoted to major. He commands the whole battalion. Well, the first day in camp, I'm put to work on trucks. So I say to myself, enough is enough. So that evening, I go to Brody's tent, and I speak very polite to the guy. got a minute, Brody? I want to ask you a favor.
Major Brody!
All right. Then, Major Brody. But please do me a favor and trade me to some other outfit for a utility infielder or something. Currying horses was bad enough, but blowing up them truck tires with a bicycle pump is brutal. It's
just brutal. I always thought, McCoy. No guts.
But Brody,
Major Brody!
All right, Major Brody. All I'm asking
now, is... Now, McCoy. You're going to work in this outfit, and I'm going to see that you do it. From now on, you're my orderly, see?
Ah, why do you pick on me? I've always been a good friend with you and Helen and...
Who is Helen?
All right, then, Mrs. Major Brody.
How dare you mention her name to me? Trying to be smart, eh, McCoy? Now get outside and wait for orders.
Yes, sir, Major. Well, you see, I hadn't kept up with the Brody socially the last few years, and I wasn't supposed to know his wife had left him 4 years previous. She couldn't stand no more of his forty yelling of orders either, so... She ran away to New York and went to work in the beauty parlor business. I don't blame her for leaving that little bully either. You see, I'm on duty as his orderly, and it's McCoydish, McCoyda, all day long, like Gunga Din or something. Yeah, and this goes on for 3 days, which brings us up to the evening of the big war games. The Green Army, which is the local boys, is to fight the guys from Pennsylvania and places, and they call themselves the Blues. They are not to be confused with the Kansas City team of the same name. Well, just before the battle begins, who should turn up but Brody's wife? Brody's in his tent explaining the maneuvers to the junior officers in the battalion.
Now, gentlemen, the problem for tomorrow is a very simple one. We break camp at 14 hours, 20 minutes. The battalion must reach the west side of the Hudson by 16 hours, 8 minutes. There we'll be met by a ferry to ford the river to the east bank. Once disembarked, the battalion will proceed north at full speed and occupy and consolidate position Q. Are there any stupid questions?
Major.
Well, what is it, McCoy?
There is a visitor for the Major.
Can't see any visitor in the middle of a war. Who is it?
The Major has forbidden me to say the name.
Oh, I see. Well, that'll be all, gentlemen. Dismissed.
Step inside, please.
Thank you, Shane. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Helen.
Well, you don't seem very glad to see me, Mike.
State your business, Helen. I'm very busy.
Very well. I'll be just as blunt as you are. I want a divorce.
A divorce? Huh? Of course you want a divorce. Look at the way you wear your hair. No decent woman looks like that.
Still judging everything like a mad bull charging, ain't you, Mike?
I know what's right when I say so.
Well, Mike, we've been separated 3 years.
I know that.
That's foolish to go on this way. Divorce is the only answer.
All right, then, get your divorce. I suppose you want money.
I don't need your money, Mike.
You'll have to take it. Take the trucking business. You'll take your divorce and your blood money, or you won't get a divorce.
Very well, Mike. If that's the only way, I'll take it. I'll sell your trucking business and keep the money for you.
Don't keep it for me. From now on, I'm through. I'm going to stay in the army.
Yes, yes, that's perfect for you, Mike. You can yell at people like a little tin god, and you're always right. The soldiers can't talk back to a major.
You got what you came for, now get out.
Now, Mike, I'm really sincere when I say this. I hope you never find out how wrong you can be.
Of course, the way he's yelling, I could hear the whole thing easy from outside the tent, so it's really a waste of effort that I crawl inside and lay under a cot to listen. But then I always had a bit of a flair for the dramatic, you know?
Yeah, there are other ways of saying that, but I promised my Rosie last week I would regard my blood pressure.
Yeah, but I'm really on the spot when a major lays down to go to sleep on the cot, the one under which I'm laying. I'm trapped. I spend the whole night under there and don't sleep a wink, because Brody ain't snoring. I know that he ain't sleeping a wink neither. And the next morning, we're on the march with Brody in a mood which could only be surpassed by himself. He's yelling orders left and right up to the time the troops march onto the ferry dock. Then the orders even come up. Major, there's something wrong.
Of course there's something wrong. Why aren't the rest of those men on board?
Well, Major, I've just...
Never mind excuses. Get them on that ferry. See that the starting platoon embarks first, ready to land the ploy.
But if the Major will please...
The Major won't! Shut up! Have machine gunners stationed at the upper deck ready to cover landing operations.
But, Major, please...
Don't question orders, McCoy. Now get going. On the jump.
Yes, sir. The last company is on board, sir.
Yes. Have all the proper precautions been taken?
Yes, sir.
Munitions on board?
Yes, sir.
Sentry station?
Yes, sir.
Liaison officers on post?
Yes, sir, but listen...
Good! I'll remain on shore till the last minute and then blow up the dock.
Blow up the dock, Major?
Don't be a fool, McCoy. It's only a charge of powder to the coffee can. We're pretending to blow up the dock.
But there's something I gotta tell you, Major. If you're...
Tell you, you talk too much, McCoy. These may be only war games, but they're to be carried out as if an actual combat. Now I'm lighting the fuse to the powder charge. Get on board, McCoy! Billy! Hey, what's this? The ship's pulling away without me! Hey, stop there!
That is exactly what I've been trying to tell to the Major. That ain't the ferry which crosses the river. That's the Hudson River Dayline freight boat.
But my battalion! There they go down the river!
Yes, Major, and if my calculations are correct, they will affect the surprise landing and bridgehead at the Palisade Amusement Park.
There goes my battalion!
And there goes your dock.
McCoy! I've lost the battalion!
Well, maybe we can borrow another one just so we can get the boys back.
That's impossible. I'm ruined. I've lost the battalion. I've probably lost the war game.
Well, what does the Major propose to do?
I don't know. But you will have to decide.
I? Brody! And with that, the guy walks over, sits himself under a tree, and begins to manicure his nails with a penknife. I guess it must have been an awful shock to him at that, seeing his battalion float down the river away from him. So now it's up to me. So first I beat it to the village and wire the battalion they should disembark at Passaic and hide in the woods until further orders. And then when I get back to the dock, the tree is still there, but the Major ain't. It leaves me as the only one who's found.
Nobody could put it worse.
No. Well, the battalion is lost. The major is lost. I'm the only one, as I say, who's found. So I start looking for the major. And what a trail that guy leaves. You see, he's so unsettled in his emotions, shall we put it, that he starts to roam. And the only thing that sticks in his mind is he will never again make a decision. In fact, he will stick to nothing, not even his own name. He buys a suit of civvies, and he just wants...
What's yours, buddy?
Well, I don't want brandy.
What's that?
And I don't want scotch.
Well, that's a big help, that is. What do you want?
No bourbon for me.
No bourbon. Sooner or later, you get to the point where there's only rye left.
Yeah, I guess I might. That is, it's possible.
Okay, rye. Here it is.
Thanks.
Say, I've been in this business 20 years, and I ain't never seen a guy order a drink like you do, Mr.
Hudson. Fred Hudson.
Okay, Mr. Hudson.
Oh? Who? I don't forget that name. Who? Why do I see he's here? Hey, there's a dame on the phone who wants to speak to a Mr. Sounds like Ralph here or something. Could that be you, buddy?
My name's Crandall. Jack Crandall.
Hello? No, there ain't no Ralph here. Goodbye.
Excuse me, mister. I must have made a mistake. Would you say your name was?
Zimmerman. Louis Zimmerman.
Oh. Thanks. Thanks. Listen, Eddie, maybe I'm crazy tonight. I don't know. Do me a favor. Go up to that guy and make some excuse to ask him his name.
Okay.
Good evening, mister.
Good evening.
Hey, I'm sure I know you from somewhere. Now, what's that name again? It slipped me for a minute.
Weaver's name. Charlie Weaver.
Why, sure. It's the funniest thing how you'll forget a name, ain't it? One minute you know it, and the next you don't. Now, I could have sworn your name was, by golly, what is it again?
Trelawney. Harry Trelawney.
Yeah. Yeah. Trelawney.
Well, I suppose I'm probably going to leave now. Can't be sure, though. Good night.
Good night, Mr.
Hapopopoulos is the name. Nicholas Hapopopoulos.
Well, I'll be so lying.
Well, that'll give you an idea of the shape our little man's in. Finally makes a beeline for New York and in to see his wife. You know, she sticks in his mind as a symbolization of someone who has always been against them bossy decisions of his, and that's why he naturally turns to her. But Helen's got herself a classy beauty parlor business there in New York, and Mike wanders in just as she is speaking to a very important customer. It almost made it.
Yes, Mrs. Tewksbury?
Look at my face, Miss Brody. Look at it. That cerise eyeshadow you recommended. Simply destroyed it.
Oh, I think you're wrong, Mrs. Tewksbury.
All right, Fife. Mother is telling them. Fife was the first to notice. The minute I got home, she barked. She turned pale. She tottered. And well, she might. His eyeshadow is dreadful.
Hello, Helen.
Hello. Mike, what on earth?
Well, who is this man?
Krausmiller's the name. Dr. Krausmiller.
Oh, yes. Dr. Krausmiller, the famous Viennese beauty specialist.
Oh, yes, doctor, of course. Doctor, what would you suggest be done for my face?
I don't know. I guess you might wash it with soap and water, maybe.
Oh, of course, the doctor means a special water he's discovered flowing from a spring in Mongolia. We've just received a shipment of it.
Why, certainly the doctor meant that. Do you take me for a fool? How much do you charge this Mongolian spring water?
$10 a bottle.
Have a dozen bottles delivered to me immediately.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Tewksbury.
And in the future, I wish to see no one but Dr. Krausmiller. Such a wonderful scientific mind. No snap decisions.
Very well, Mrs. Tewksbury.
Good day, Miss Brody.
Good day.
Good day, Doctor.
Is it? I wasn't sure. It might be a good day at that. Can't tell, though.
Oh, wonderful. The scientific mind again. Au revoir.
Mongolian spring water. That was very funny to kid my best customer. If she ever finds out about this, it will ruin me. Oh. Yes? Oh, spoke to her on the way out, did she? Well, tell Mrs. van der Van the doctor has only a limited supply of Mongolian spring water. Now, I... Yes? No, I said. Tell Mrs. de Crawford she'll have to phone Dr. Krausmiller next week for an appointment. Now see what you've done. That Tewksbury woman will tell half New York about Dr. Krausmiller. It's a cruel joke, Mike Brody. Why did you do it?
Maybe I am Dr. Krausmiller.
Hey, Mike, what's the matter? Are you ill?
Am I?
Please, you've changed so.
Have I? Possibly. I'm not sure.
Not sure? You not sure? Well, Mike, what happened to you?
I don't know. Something a few days ago. I can't quite remember.
Well, you can't go back to camp in this shape.
I don't know. You decide.
Helen has very little time to worry over Mike's condition because all them society dames are standing in line for advice from the great Dr. Krausmiller. So Helen's stuck with him. Of course, it's pretty nice sticking at them prices. As for the advice he gives out, it's so long since them babes washed their faces in soap and water and anything sensible like that that, of course, he does them a lot of good. But on the other hand, there's only 5 weeks left of the war games and our army headquarters is sure to find out soon that Mike is missing. He's got to get back.
Yeah, so what about it?
Well, this. It don't take me long to get a hunch that Mike has went to New York to look up Helen. So I, too, follow him to New York, too, and I bust right into the beauty joint. Hey, Mike, Major, I've been looking for you everywhere. We got to get back to the battalion before headquarters knows you're missing.
I beg your pardon? My name is Krausmiller, I think. Dr. Michael Joseph Krausmiller.
You think? Listen, Mike, quit your kidding. They shoot people in the army for deserting, you know.
They do?
This is Shane McCoy speaking to you. You remember good old Shane McCoy?
Shane McCoy, yes. I remember you. It's funny, I can't remember from where, though.
The army. The green. Don't you remember we was fighting the blues together?
Fighting the blues?
Oh, it's like a case of shell shock with you, ain't it?
Shell shock, I don't understand.
Well, listen. You are the major of the 1st Cavalry Battalion. We're having a war game now. You got to put down that bottle of perfume and come back with me.
Oh, no. That's impossible. I couldn't leave my practice.
Oh, this is as bad as them five columns. And that is how I, a very fine left fielder, come to be a beauty parlor assistant to a beauty expert who was a cavalry major.
Only because it is you do I still sit here.
Yeah, but that's what the situation was. Of course, Helen don't want me around, but Mike says he thinks maybe he'd like it. That's that, of course, in that case, because she's still kind of in love with the guy. And especially now that he's not the bully boy she ran away from, but a very soft, meek, nice guy. In fact, she thinks he can stay hid out for good with her and keep on being Dr. Krausmiller, but I know such a thing ain't practical. And then what will them foreign countries think of our army when it is exposed that a cavalry major has become a beauty expert?
Yeah, that would suddenly become propaganda.
Yeah, certainly. And that ain't even mentioning the rest of the guys in the battalion who are still hid out in the woods and by this time is living on nuts and berries. You see, I just gotta bring Brody back to his senses in the regiment. So I begin to talk army talk to him every chance I get. But it don't seem to have... Look, Major, now please try. You remember how you used to drive that big truck around 10 years ago?
A truck? Why should I drive a truck?
Oh, it's no use. Hey, girlie, send this telegram for me, will you? 101st Battalion National Guard Cavalry, somewhere, Passaic Woods. Proceed at once to Centerville and await further orders. Assign a Shane McCoy orderly to Major General Brody. Thank you. Now, let's try it again, Major. What is the first rule for cavalry?
The first rule is that cavalry marches in line, but fights in echelon.
Yeah, that's right. Now,
I wonder how I came to know that.
I don't know, but that's swell. Now let's try another one. The enemy has just broken camp for a retreat. Now, what is the function of cavalry lacking orders from general headquarters?
The cavalry will... Hello? Yes? She's here, thank you. Mrs. Tewksbury's on the way up. You'd better put that saddle away and sit in that chair.
Okay, just when we was beginning to get somewhere.
Oh, good morning, Dr.
Tarsmiller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, quiet, Fifi. Mother wishes to speak to the doctor. Oh, no wonder the poor thing's so upset. I've been looking so terrible lately.
Oh, we'll have to see what we can do. I must think.
Oh, I'm afraid it's nerve this time, Doctor. Boredom. It's been such a long winter. I suppose most of us are bored this time of year.
Oh, why don't you go away?
What?
Beat it. Get out.
Why, I believe you're right. That's exactly what I need, a sea voyage. Oh, how brilliant. Dr. Krausmiller, you'll have to look out. This assistant of yours will steal your laurels.
Oh, this is worse than them five columns. Yeah, I understand, of course. Mrs. Tewks didn't get me right. I was sore and yelling at her, but she thought I was advising. And now I'm at an end to my rope. I'm desperate. So I'm resolved to force Helen to drive us out of the joint. So when dames come to consult Mike, I open up with some beauty treatment. But no matter what screwy things I suggest, them dames have already thought of it themselves. It's brutal what brutalities dames will commit in the disguise of fair beauty.
Dr. Krausmiller, I wanted to see you about my hair. It doesn't have the right luster somehow or other. What would you suggest?
Well, now...
Go slap an egg on your head.
Oh, an egg shampoo. Do you approve, Doctor?
I don't know why. I guess so.
Then I most certainly would try it.
Doctor, my hands don't express my personality. What shall I do?
You might paint your fingernails green. Maybe it's St. Patrick's Day.
Green fingernails? Why, of course, with my green evening frock.
Oh, Dr. Krausmiller, I'm nearly frantic. What would you advise me to do about my complexion?
Complexion? I don't know.
With a face like that, I'd throw mud at it.
Why, of course, a mud pack. I'll have one today.
Oh, I give up.
Oh, hello, Helen.
Hello.
Now listen, Helen. If you love this wild Irish rose, you better cooperate with me to get him back to his right mind and then back into them army games. You know, them FBIs do a very thorough job on an army deserter. Now, I'm going for a walk. Think it over.
What's Shane so angry about?
Oh, it's just something. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Darling, are you happy these days?
Happy? I don't know. It's nice seeing you every day, and I don't mind those crazy women so much, but there seems to be something lacking.
You know what it is, Mike?
No, not quite. Sometimes when Shane is talking to me, I get an idea that I almost know him. Then it fades.
Oh, Mike, darling, I wonder if I'm doing the right thing.
What do you mean, Helen?
Well, I can't explain, Mike. But remember this. If anything happens, I didn't do it just for money. I wouldn't care if they paid millions of dollars for Dr. Krausmiller's advice. I'm doing it because I like you better this way.
What other way is there, Helen?
There is another way, Mike. That is for you, but not for you and me.
Well, things is beginning to get desperate. It's the last 2 weeks of maneuvers, and I had to give the regiment orders, saying they was from the major, of course, to work their way back north. But there I am, and the major is still in the beauty business. Now, I'm a great reader of good books, and I can see it's a situation which calls for a baronet.
The things you can see shouldn't happen to a dog.
Yeah. So I locate a high-class vaudeville actress who can put on a big front and who, at the same time, I'm very much attracted to. And she agrees to cooperate with me to the extent of being a baroness. So the following day, I'm in Mike's office.
Good day, my friend Shane. Look.
Oh, how do you do, baroness? Dr. Krausmiller, shake hands with the Baroness von Two.
How do you do, Baroness?
Look, Herr Doctor, it is an honor.
train, my friend. Your doctor, he is very pretty, no? Oh, la, la, hein, this is Gesundheit.
Doctor, the Baroness has been worried about her complexion.
Yes, doctor, how you say the epidermis should need attention.
Well, no, I don't know. You might...
How about trying a violet ray, doctor?
I don't know, maybe.
Who is this woman, this violet ray? Is she simpatico? Is she affectionato? Is she the gate?
No, she's a lamp, Baroness. Now, just sit over here. Thanks, that's it. Now, we'll see what we can do.
Jane, are you sure you're doing what's all right?
Now, don't you worry, Mike. You don't understand this. It's gonna work out okay. Look at her. Hey, look at her. Look what the violet ray's bringing out in the forehead there.
Jane, that's a map of our coast defense. This woman's a spy.
Sure, she's a spy. But why do you care?
What do I care? Why, it's the duty of every citizen to arrest a spy. And how dare you think that Major Michael Brody... Say, that's my name, Major Brody. But what am I doing here? And what are you doing here, McCoy?
Well, Major, it's a long story. You see, after the maneuvers...
Never mind the excuses, McCoy. Place this woman in custody and then report to me. I'm off to rejoin the battalion. McCoy, where is the battalion?
Centerville, Major. All ready and waiting for you.
Mike, where are you going?
I've got to rejoin the regiment. Kiss me goodbye, Helen.
No, Mike, not the Major. I love Dr. Krausmiller.
And what kind of marriage would that be for a man?
I don't know, Mike, but it'd be lovely for a woman.
Now, listen, you folks, marriage is a compromise. That's what I once read, anyway.
He's right, Helen. Look, on furlough, I'd be Dr. Krausmiller. If when I'm on duty, you'll be Mrs. Major.
All right, Mike. Doctor, Major, darling.
McCoy, if we're going to win this war, you'll have to step out of it.
Yes, Major.
McCoy! McCoy, tell those tanks to get a move on.
Yes, Major. Well, a little man finds his battalion, and I catch up with him, and into the battle we go. Well, it's the final battle of the war games, and how we go. You see, as a result of the trip down the Hudson and back up again, our battalion is in position to take the Blue Army in flank and rear, and we win the battle. It goes down in military history as even greater than Hannibal's march to the sea. That Brody gets 2 decorations and a citation, so
didn't deserve...
No, naturally, I'm the guy who should have got him, but they didn't know that, you know. So, anyway, Mike and Helen get back together again. And most of the time they live as Mr. and Mrs. Major, and the beauty business is carried on by assistants. But for a few weeks a year, they are Dr. Krausmuller and Miss Helen Brody. And the point is that all of the paper for that classy beauty business is supplied by our firm. Yeah, it's like I told you. Not only is that vellum paper of ours classy, but there's a good profit in it, too. What do you say? Do I get the order?
All right, send me 25 reams. Well, that's life. Some guys can make all the mistakes in the world and wind up grabbing off a swell beauty business. Me, I got to slave away selling paper for a very bare living.
My friend, you are a philosopher, is why I like to see you every week.
You have been listening to the Columbia Workshops presentation of another Shane McCoy story, The Major Goes Over the Hill, by Nathaniel Curtis and Brewster Morgan. Mr. Morgan directed the production. Ed Gardner appeared as Shane, Whitford Kane as Major Brody, and Vicky Vola as Helen. Carl Eastman was the customer, Adelaide Klein, Mrs. Tewksbury, and Helen Dumas, the Baroness. Others in the cast, Howard Smith, Joe Latham, Connie Lemke, Kay Renwick, and Bradley Barker. Bernard Herrmann conducted the orchestra. Next week, the Columbia Workshop presents an adaptation of the cosmopolitan story, Mr. Charles. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.